From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of February 2024. Happy birthday to my lovely bride, Claire Ann. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets, of course, with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. We'll hear from Travis Burke with University of Illinois Extension about how it works with the association, particularly the Soybean Association in this case, on cover cropping and other related issues. And I'll tell you what I'm doing today near East Alton, Illinois, at the National Great Rivers Research and Education Center, as it's related to flooding, agriculture, and art. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too. That with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at $4.305. That was down a penny and a half. The May at $4.425, up one. Well, let me start over again. March corn today up a penny and a half at $4.305. The May at $4.425, up one. And December futures $4.6925, a penny higher. March soybeans at $11.93, up 9.5 cents. The May $11.97.75, 7.75 higher. And November beans at $11.68.75, up 5 cents. Bean meal futures at $3.48.90, up 2.10 for the day. The bean oil at $46.90, 36 cents higher. Wheat futures soft red contract March at $5.97.5, 3/4 higher. The hard red at $5.98.75, down 2.75 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract at $185.92.5, down 80 cents. Feeders $1.67.5 higher for the day at $248.82.5, and lean hogs at $81.12.5, down 2.5 cents for the afternoon. Crude oil futures $76.79 a barrel, down a nickel, and diesel fuel about 5.5 cents lower, 2.98. Gasoline on wholesale price at $2.35 a gallon, a penny and a tenth higher. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net to discuss what happened in the marketplace. Better day today than it was a good portion of last week, though it finished not quite as well as it had been earlier in the day. Tell me about the trade, please, Kurt.
Yeah, the market corn up 1.5, felt like 10. Beans up 8 to 9, felt like 20, 30. So it's nice to see an up day here for a change. Kind of oversold, due for some strength. March corn futures made a new low move here and was able to come back and close 1.5 cents higher. So we do have a little hook reversal to the upside. Beans had an inside day, and the wheat market had an inside day, so we just kind of hurry up and wait. Mainly just kind of blah still. We've got the Asia Lunar New Year activity taking place, China's Golden Week, of course. Then South America, we're looking at Carnival. We got Fat Tuesday, Ash Wednesday coming up here fairly quickly. Then lastly, to look forward towards the end of the weekend here, we'll have the outlook form on Thursday and Friday, and they're going to put out some expectations using the numbers that came up last fall on a supply-demand balance sheet. Most of the trades kind of dialed into the idea we're still going to see a few less corn acres and a few more bean acres. If the projections hold true, next year's carryout for corn could climb to 2.5 to 2.7 billion bushels, and the bean carryout could climb to 360 million to 400 million bushels, just using the paper analytical approach. We still have a lot of port news in front of us. We still have a lot of weather next growing season, or this coming growing season. We're only in February here, so a lot of variables in front of us, but that'll be the news towards the end of the week. Starting to see some planting progress take place here in South Texas. The weather forecast warming up through here is going to help stimulate some activity in the south. our forecast, and it was going to cool back down, kind of up and down, but still early here in the growing season as far as we start to get started here, Todd.
When you take a look at the technicals for the marketplace, are they sideways to lower still, or are we finding a bottom in your opinion?
Corn, we've just been in a gradual downtrend since last fall. We consolidated sideways in November. We just keep grinding lower in through here. Today is kind of step one to get some type of price reversal upside. But those have not just panned out at all during the month of January here. Well, I can't say the whole month of January, but a couple times in January, I think corn, we had 4 daily price reversals to the upside. They go up for a day or two, give the market a little hope, then take that hope away. Continues to feel like the number one strategy here is the commodity funds just wanting to be shorts in the marketplace as they continue to pile on their selling shoes here. They were estimated to be short about 298,000 contracts of corn, about 139,000 contracts of soybeans. And so I guess trends down until they kind of shift their momentum in here. That's going to be the atmosphere. However, though, the index funds for change, they're starting to accumulate some longs, mainly in wheat and soybean oil. That was kind of evident there last week. So hopefully that's a sign of hope here that we can have some outside money come in here and give the market a little support here for a change.
We're about halfway through the crop insurance setting month of February. I take it that probably has some farmers worried, as low as the markets have been, about new crop. And clearly they are worried about pricing old crop corn that they have left. What should they do at this point, if anything, on either of them?
Well, on old crop, wish I could, I should, I would, looking back. But basically, there's still a ton of corn or a lot of corn to move out there. Rallies from here are going to be met by cash movement. That's going to limit the basis. It'll probably widen out. Our best guess is to get some strength in here and move it, price it. If we're going to have a substantial up, it's going to be later on in the growing season. So for cash flow needs between now and 4th of July, probably need to get to where you want to be on it. Otherwise, you're going to have to hold it till later on the growing season and see some type of weather scenario. The thorn in the side, the ugly thing is, yes, crop insurance. If you look at this price here, December futures are, you know, close to this 470 area. Now you take your basis off that and it does not look pretty at all. But as far as crop insurance goes, we'll see what it comes out with. But in order to collect on that market, if you have good yields, the market's going to have to go substantially lower from here. We don't want the market to go much lower from here. So reality is kind of setting in here that this 24 marketing, 24 crop year is going to be a challenge, Todd.
Hey, thank you much. And I look forward to having you over at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 5th day of March.
Oh, boy, it's going to be here before we know it. Always enjoy participating and be able to get caught up with everybody there. Take care, Todd.
You too. That's Kirk Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You too can join us at the All Day Ag Outlook. Go to willag.org and get your tickets today. We're now joined by University of Illinois Extension Program Leader for Ag and Agribusiness, Travis Burke. Thank you, Travis, for being with us. You and I spent the day at the Illinois Soybean Summit on the first day of the month, and I'm wondering what it is that the University Extension and the associations have as a common area of concern across the state, and how here on campus, we work with associations.
We basically try to work together cooperatively on a lot of initiatives because a lot of the programming that the soybean growers and their association are doing, it is of educational outreach, which is what we try to do with Extension. Now, the way we work together is, first of all, some of the research activities that are going on right now. A lot of it is done in cooperation with Extension. For example, February 1st, the conference focused a lot on cover cropping systems, insects, weed control, which are all things that we in Extension are doing research on so that we can get it out to the people across the state. And we cooperate with the soybean growers in doing this.
Part of that is funding, and part of it is the research that happens both in-house and with the Soybean Association. So they're looking to the expertise located here on campus.
That is correct. For example, I know there's a partnership right now doing cover cropping. Cover cropping has come up quite a bit here in Illinois recently, and it is becoming a continuing initiative due to a lot of information focusing on soil fertility, soil health, and regenerative agriculture. So this really ties in with what the Soybean Association is looking at doing. And so we're trying to do some research and work with the soybean growers to try to give growers in this state some other opportunities. It's been a corn, soybeans state for many, many years. And so the cover cropping system is one of those initiatives that we're looking to further advance as we move forward in production agriculture, particularly for soybean production. Get another opportunity in it to do some double cropping and to see where it is feasible and where it may not be feasible.
Yeah, so it is about making sure that there is something green on the surface of the soil through the off months in November, December, January, February, March,
yeah.
And keeping nutrients from moving out of that soil for water quality issues, and soil erosion as well,
right.
Especially for the soybeans. It is a big push within Extension and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy, both statewide functions. The Soybean Association, the Illinois Corn Growers, also involved. This cover crop area is now about, as of 2022, 3% of the state's acreage. On the other hand, for instance, no-till, which was developed here at the University of Illinois, around 30%. What are your hopes for cover crop and the research that's being done?
We are right on the edge now of trying to advance that movement along. These are things that are going to take some time to go into practice. Most of the cover cropping that we have here in the state is in the southern part of the state, of course. The climate's a little warmer down there, but with some of the research that Extension is already doing right now with the Soybean Association, I think there may be some opportunity to move the needle a little further north and doing it systematically, because we think that cover cropping will have a bigger role in soybean production in this state here in the years ahead. So we're at the right time, at the right moment, and so we're trying to see if we can do the research along with soybean growers to make it happen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Travis Burke is with University of Illinois Extension. I spoke with him earlier this month at the Illinois Soybean Summit. In March, speaking of conferences, I hope you'll join us at the All Day Ag Outlook Conference. That's coming up on Tuesday, the 5th day of March. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Don't wait. Buy your tickets today. We have a fantastic day planned for you. We'll talk about herbicides in the field and some of the things you'll need to know as a farmer and otherwise. Aaron Hager will be with us. We'll discuss crop insurance, a decision you definitely will need to discuss and think about, especially as it's related to the ARC and PLC or safety net decisions. We'll take those up too. And we'll also talk about SAF or sustainable aviation fuel. We talked during the Farm Assets Conference about renewable diesel. This time around, we'll talk about SAF and the potential it has for both corn and soybeans to be used as a biofuel in the aviation industry. You'll want to be there for the day. We'll also have our corn and soybean panels as usual, and we'll talk about the weather forecast as well as take a look at the price of farmland, all at the Tuesday, March 5, All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. For the $40, you get to start off your morning with a Beef House roll and coffee and a lunch from the Beef House too. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. willag.org or go to the Farm Doc Daily website and look under the webinars and archives section for the All Day Ag Outlook. Today I traveled to East Alton to the National Great Rivers Research and Education Center, right on the Mississippi River, right at actually the lock and dam system, for a unique event that Trent Ford, state climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute, has been involved with. Trent and I were both invited. I think, Trent, you must be on the grant possibly on this one, or were you invited just to come and speak?
Yeah, I was just an invited speaker on this one. Happy to participate.
So we are here to try to flush out what might be a good communication strategy to talk to farmers, landowners, municipalities about the changing climate and how it impacts floodwaters, drought too, to some extent, and what kind of mitigation things can happen within a community, the state, and broader context. What did you tell the folks that were gathered here thinking about this problem? And then, of course, as we sit down, we're thinking about how to use the arts and humanities to communicate these particular issues.
Yeah. So, you know, the focus here is on nature-based solutions to problems with water, really, you know, like too much water at certain times, not enough water at other times. And my message, and I've done this before in front of a lot of groups around the state, is to talk about how what climate change is doing is it's really changing when water is available, how much is available, and in a lot of cases, too much. And then talking about solutions on how to manage it. So when we have excessively wet springs or excessively dry summers, more evaporation during the summer, more heavy precipitation that can inundate stormwater drainage systems or tiling systems, whatever it may be, and how to manage all those. And the real focus here is on how to tie in nature-based solutions. A nature-based solution is something like, for example, a rain garden in a municipal area that can help take in a lot of that surge of floodwater, reduce the flood risk of a city or of a county, while also providing some other benefits like an aesthetic benefit or pollinating benefit, something like that. So, of course, there's nature-based solutions for agriculture as well. There's, you know, wetland riparian borders, and there's also like cover crop practices and things like that. So we really talked about climate change in Illinois, what we've seen, what we're likely to see over the next several decades, and the kind of rolling that into the importance of these nature-based solutions, the development of them. And then the discussion that followed was, okay, well, how do we communicate that? What are the key audiences? What's the purpose of all these, of all this? And how can we get an effective strategy for expanding nature-based solutions to deal with climate and other sorts of problems that are coming down the pipe?
So that second portion of it is something that you and I are involved in, and that there will be more gatherings to talk about and come up with some potential solutions. The nature-based solutions that I was thinking about when you mentioned a rain garden were the Red Oak Rain Garden on campus at the University of Illinois. And then some people may be familiar with that. And then if you're into Champaign-Urbana and you're along First Street, the catch basins, I think they're engineered more. But those are really nature-based solutions to control water flow through campus, which oftentimes flooded it in the past and now just gathers up in these parks and then slowly is dissipated.
Yeah, that's right. Those are both really good examples. And you know, there's a spectrum between nature-based solutions and engineered solutions that we can think about. You know, something like a park that's put up but trees are put up in the park in order for people to provide a cooling area, you know, for people to play in while it's on a hot kind of summer day. So, you know, all of these things are you know, these different solutions have their benefits, they have their costs, and trying to understand the most effective implementation of these solutions in rural and in urban areas around the state to deal with the problems that climate change are throwing at us. That's really the most important piece.
But Trent, I don't believe in
climate change. Why do we need the mitigation? Can you prove to me that the climate is changing?
Yeah, sure. So we have records going back in some places in the state back to the mid-1800s, but in places like Champaign, the late 1800s. And we see that consistent change in temperature and precipitation. Illinois has gotten warmer and it's gotten wetter. And we know, based off of all the work done around the globe, that this is not unique to just Illinois. It's every single place on the globe. And we know what's driving it. And so what we have to do when we look forward is projecting out these trends into the future to avoid significant impacts that we've already seen, but additional impacts on top of that with too much water, not enough water, extreme heat, and so on and so forth. We need to both mitigate climate change, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and these nature-based solutions can do some of that as well. But then also we know that the climate's going to continue changing for the next couple of decades, no matter what we do. So we have to adapt as well to a warmer, wetter, perhaps more wild precipitation type, especially a climate. And by doing that, we can increase productivity. And that's an important point. Oftentimes we just talk about adapting as saying, well, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, adapt, and hopefully we won't hurt too much. But actually, we can increase productivity in agriculture while also adapting to our climate change future.
I look forward to hearing more from you, of course, on these mitigation issues and the communications that might be used to work through the municipalities and the agricultural and rural development areas across the state of Illinois.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Really appreciate it.
That's Trent Ford. He is state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. We're here today at the National Great Rivers Research and Education Center outside of East Alton, Illinois. Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics now joins us. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the weather forecast. Update me on what's been happening in Argentina and Brazil.
Yeah, let's begin. Was in the midst of heat, along with several weeks of drier than normal conditions. Stir did change in a big way late last week. Looking ahead, we continue to see opportunities for rainfall in Argentina with no sign of going back into a hotter and drier pattern. These rains are happening right now very timely here for their soybean crop and corn as well, after what had been a couple of weeks of pretty hot and dry conditions.
And in Brazil?
Overall, for soybean harvesting as well as safrinha corn, wetter than normal. The one area that watching that doesn't look quite as good for widespread significant rains versus the rest of the belt. That's Paraná. They still have options for rain. It doesn't look quite as good of a setup as other areas. So it's really the area to watch just to see how rainfall verifies specifically in that acreage.
And cold weather here in the United States, I take it.
Yeah, nothing of note here over the next couple of weeks. The even record warmth that we saw, that's now basically coming to an end. Still no sign of any hint or meaningful cold here coming into the central U.S., looking out from now through basically month's end.
Hey, thanks much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, where you can today pick up your tickets for the March 5th All-Day Ag Outlook. Don't wait. Buy your tickets now. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.